Well, that was loud. We're grateful that you are here this morning. Andrew, thank you. What a blessing you are to this church and to us this morning for being able to gather our voices together and praise God. It's the first time I've laid my eyes on Danny and his wife, and I'm grateful that they are here. Just 2 weeks ago, I was sitting across the table with members from this congregation, and one of the things that they shared was they said Danny was a blessing to us at the time that we needed him. And what a blessing they have been to this congregation of God's people. You know, I am certainly receiving the benefits of your work and your labor here and the good work that you all did beside Danny and his wife. What a blessing to have them here today. If you're visiting with us outside of Danny and Karen, we consider you all great visitors and welcome to visitors, and certainly we're thankful for your presence here today. And if you just want to know more about us, just spend some time talking to us after service, and we'll be happy to tell you about the hope that we have that burns within our hearts, especially here at West Park. Not long ago, I was driving around, listening to the radio, and I'm sure you all do this. You scan the stations, and I'm a little bit odd in my music, and so I like a little bit of everything. And so sometimes I'll just scan to see what's on. And every once in a while, a song from my old high school days will pop up on one of those stations. And, you know, and I'll be driving down the road, you know, bobbing my head, thinking back. And I know you all do the same thing. I mean, it's that way. Music just has that ability just to help us to remember certain things. Well, in the process of doing that, flipping through stations, I came across this religious radio station, and I thought I would just listen for a few moments. And so as I was listening to the two DJs talk, they, of course, if you are familiar with this kind of thing, most of the time there's a segment that they have planned, and they'll talk about that specific segment, and then they'll have callers to call in to chime in about whatever they're talking about that moment. And the discussion was really interesting, and it sort of piqued my interest, and so I listened for a while. And one of the things that they talked about on this show, the two DJs, they were talking about words that define you. Words that define you. Words that tell a lot about who you are, maybe who you've been. They could be words that define you currently. And so they started to mention different words. And that kind of made me think personally, and I'm sure many of you are like this as well. There's that introspection moment where you think back to who you were. And I can tell you I don't talk a lot about my high school days. I don't talk about my early college days. Thankfully, I met a faithful Christian woman. My life has been a blessing ever since. And so, you know, I can think back, though, and think about who I used to be, and I'm not proud of that. And I know a lot of you are like that. You think about those moments of who you used to be. And sometimes those moments aren't proud. And once again, I'm not here to tell you all about my life and what I did and the things that I'm not proud of. I can just tell you it wasn't good, and we'll just leave it there. But I thought back to words that would have defined me then. And those words are not the words that I would use or that I would assume others who know me would use to define me now. And so it made me sad for a few moments, but then it made me happy. It made me happy to think about who I am now and the impact that I hope to have on others, and that I'm thankful for Jesus, and I'm thankful for forgiveness, and I'm thankful that, you know, I have future, I have hope. What was interesting about this program, though, was to hear some of the words, and they kind of did it in two segments with callers. The first one was talking about words of the past. And I want to tell you, I'm one of those who get a little bit emotional with stuff like this. And so I'm driving down the road listening to this radio program, and I'm just crying like a baby, you know, hearing people talk about their past and talk about words that define them. And there were a couple of moments when some of the callers were very specific. This is who I used to be. This is what I did. This is what I'm not proud of. And sometimes it was brokenness, and it was heartache, and it was divorce, and it was addiction, and it was a lot of different things. I actually penned a few words down that were described in that particular part of the segment. Loneliness, adultery, brokenness, debt. Some had a loose tongue, an unforgiving spirit, grumpy. Some were troublemakers. Some were drama queens. Some were addicts. And it was just, the stories went on. And I thought, whoever came up with this idea, this was a beautiful idea to get people to talk about their past. But then they had the next segment that dealt with the future. And here were some of the present thoughts. And this too was moving, because for people to talk about where they had been in the past and where they are now, and the story of overcoming struggles and challenges and temptations and addictions. Some people changed their word to faithful partner. Some people changed their word to reconciled. I don't know if you picked up on that specific word when Chuck was reading a few moments ago. We've been given the ministry of reconciliation. And in that passage, it says that God has forgiven us our trespasses. He's reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that good news? Amen? Isn't that great news? That our old words don't have to define us, that we can be defined by words like reconciled, whole, financially free, control, not lack of control. We can be defined by words like grace. And I thought it was interesting. Now, once again, some people had a difficult time talking about the past and the present. And I know some of us are like that as well. Some of us have a difficult time talking about that. You know, in the heart of that passage that Chuck read a few moments ago, 2 Corinthians 5:17, does that reference just ring a bell for a moment? Do you remember that verse? 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ... Therefore, if anyone is now in Christ, he is a new creation. That's a present word. That's a powerful word. He is a new creation. The word new. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. In Christ, we have future. In Christ, we have hope. In Christ, we've been forgiven from our past. In Christ, now we have a life full of joy and love and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And then Paul would go on to say, as he's talking about the fruits of the Spirit, among such there is no law. When we live that new life in Christ, there's really no law needed to guide our actions. When we live by love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But I want you to think about some Bible examples for just a moment with me. Can you think of some who the past was not very pretty for them? As a matter of fact, the past was very littered with sin, and sin of the most difficult kind. We're talking about adultery. We're talking about murder, lying, contriving evil plans. I mean, you see all of that. David is one of those guys, and I think we just talk about David so much because... He does have a very difficult past, but God used him. In spite of all of his wrongdoing, in spite of all of his sinful lifestyle, in spite of all of his gratifying his flesh, regardless of how it happened, he came to that moment of repentance. We've got Psalms like Psalm 51. Psalm wrote after being confronted by the prophet and confessing his sin and asking God to create in him a clean heart. Basically, he's saying, God, I want a different word to define me now. And David, think about it. He was an adulterer. That was a word that would define him. Bathsheba, same could be said for her. He was a liar, a murderer. But there was a change in David, right? He went from those words to words like forgiven, truth, contrite. David, I think... As Luke would record, a man after God's own heart, when he came to himself, kind of like the Luke 15 account of the prodigal son, when he came to himself, he comes running back to God. What a beautiful picture that we have of David. I also think of Paul. Paul is another one of those examples, and I personally, I believe that there's a lot to be compared in Paul's life and that of Christ. Now, obviously, Christ is incomparable, right? We understand that. I think you understand that. I believe that. But there's a lot of interesting dynamics at play in Paul's life that are very similar to the kind of selfless, sacrificial life being poured out for the kingdom that we see in Paul's life as much as we do in Jesus's. Now, Jesus is perfect. Paul is not. Jesus is the Son of God. Paul is not. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Paul is not. But Paul is submitting to all of those things and preaching that Jesus as Savior. One passage in particular. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 1. This passage in particular, to me, is the beautiful personification of what we're talking about. Past words, present words. A word that would define a past that would lead to death versus new words that lead to life. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has enabled me because He counted me faithful, putting me into ministry. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, an insolent man," and you might just want to underline that word. It just means arrogance to the point of violence. Paul's saying that I was all of the, I persecuted the way. I was so arrogant about my own position as a Jew in leadership among God's people that he actually overlooked God in the flesh and tried to persecute the church even to the point of violence. And so he was an insolent man, he says, "but I obtained mercy." Now this is a picture of past and present and future. "I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." I believe that what Paul was doing when he was persecuting the church is that he had a zeal for wanting to obey God to the point that he was willing to take care of anything that stood in what his viewpoint was in God's way. But God used that same zeal. He used that same commitment. He used that same man to do great things through Jesus Christ for his will and kingdom. Notice what Paul says, verse 14. "And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus." This is a faithful and trustworthy saying, worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Notice this, "of whom I am chief." Paul's saying, "I had a past." And if you want to talk about who's the worst sinners, you know, he would say things like in Romans 7, "Oh, wretched man that I am." I mean, he didn't even feel worthy to be following Jesus Christ, but nevertheless, because of God accepting him, showering him with grace, now he has present hope and future. And so he would go on to say, "However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on Him for everlasting life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Now here's one of the things that's hard for us to do this morning. If I just mention the name the Apostle Paul, naturally speaking, all of us conjure up really good thoughts, right? We conjure up thoughts like, you know, this guy was the one chosen by God to go to the Gentile world to help convert them to Jesus Christ and to understand through his preaching that Jesus could save, even in the minds of a Jew, the worst of people. You've got a guy like Paul. When I mention his name this morning, you're thinking of a guy who wrote much of the New Testament. When I mention the name Paul, if you're studying the book of Acts and you get to that point where he goes on that first journey, that second journey, that third journey, you see all of those churches that were established. You see him making that trek back to encourage those same people. You see this same commitment even to the point of death when he's going to be placed on trial on a number of occasions. You see a man that you consider to be faithful. When Paul wrote those words, I would assume that much of the same thought that people had in their minds at that time collectively is not what we have in our minds today. They're thinking of a guy who it was very fresh on their minds. Probably sitting in a worship service much like this one, having family members possibly who died because of giving the approval. I mean, you could have had people who had been persecuted when Paul served among the Jewish ranks as leader. You remember, they laid the clothes of Stephen at his feet when they killed Stephen, martyred Stephen. Paul had power and authority. That's what they were thinking about. So when they read these words, they're thinking, Paul is an individual who had a past, but God forgave. If God could forgive Paul, that's not what we really think today, I don't believe. I think we have such a high elevate, and rightly so, of Paul, that we don't think, man, if God could save a guy like Paul, he could certainly save me. But that's the point. That's the point Paul is making over and over and over. Jesus made changes in Paul's life. And so he wrote those words in 2 Corinthians 5:17. That's the guy that we're talking about this morning. He's the guy that said, old things have passed away. And I think that in his mind, he was giving that very loud and verbal amen and praise God for forgiveness. God's reconciled me. He's reconciled us to himself through Jesus, the very one that I was persecuting. If anyone's in Christ, he is a brand new creation. Think about the words now that God uses to define you and me as faithful children of His. Forgiven, right? Romans chapter 8, verse 1, you remember that verse, right? There is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The faithful in Christ, there's no condemnation. We're forgiven. There is faithfulness, right? Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. We must believe that He is, that He's God, and that as God He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. That we are people who must live by faith. We live by that eternal Word of God. And then you remember the admonition that Paul, as he closes that Corinthian letter out, he says, I want you to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of Christ. Faithfulness is a word we are defined by. Future. We are defined by our future. Paul would talk in Romans chapter 5 about the hope, the forgiveness, the joy that we have in Jesus Christ. And he would go on to say that it wasn't because we were so good. It was that God made His love known to us by giving us His Son, and His Son made His love known to us by giving Himself for our sins and the sins of the whole world. We have a future and a hope because of Jesus Christ. We have forgiveness, we have faithfulness, and we have future. The thing about our time today is that God does not want you to feel shackled. Now in Romans 6, there's this beautiful picture of being shackled. We can be shackled in one of two ways, right? In Romans chapter 6, he says, you are a slave of righteousness or you are a slave of sin. Now, in verse 17, he says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient to that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And you became, therefore, slaves of righteousness. God doesn't want you to be shackled by sin. And He doesn't want you to be shackled by your past. He doesn't want you to beat yourself up about who you used to be. God says, I want you to understand that you can be shackled, but you can be shackled with the righteousness that I've provided in Jesus Christ. You remember 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, right? For He, that is God, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. We can become the righteousness of God. That's what God wants us to be shackled to. That's what He wants us to be a slave to. So this morning, when you think about those words that define your past, they do not have to define your future. And it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. We are in an audience of one, God Almighty. And all that matters is what He thinks. Don't let those words define you. You are more than the sum of your past mistakes. God has made you more in Jesus Christ. You do not have to be defined by that this morning. You can be defined by forgiveness and grace and mercy, such as words that defined Paul, the chief of sinners, and David, a horrible, adulterous murderer. This morning, you too, if you respond to the grace of God and His amazing love, can be redefined, and a word can set you free. His word, His forgiveness, His love, His blood. If you'll come as together we stand and as we sing.